Sure, would not suffer the word Don or Heck to be uttered in her presence. I mean, just even as euphemisms. So, you know, she didn't even like euphemisms. But then she had no compunctions whatsoever against saying herself often and loud, damn Yankee. Of course, she was raised in an era which she felt her life very much affected by the quote, damn Yankees.
Would you find that term dropping out of use? So,
damn Yankee or Yankee? Yeah,
or damn Yankee.
Oh, very much so. I don't think anyone does anymore, unless they're doing it in jest, unless they're using it in jest.
That's interesting. Okay, well...
of course, that was a play a few years out of musical. Out, I think, in the 50s, it might have done more than anything else. Squelch the use of the term damn Yankee.
Okay. Let me see. What about what do you use to pound nails in with?
A hammer.
A hammer. Okay.
And one thing I'm noticing, I'm tending to articulate my R's right now more than customary.
Your R's.
Yes, it might be because I've been conscious.
You're conscious, so
But then I usually drop off all terminal R's altogether.
Yeah. How would you normally say that word?
Hammer.
Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Don't be so. What can I tell you? Don't be so careful
so
about your speech. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Part of that has only come up with this quote. I've realized that I've had a lot of students who have had ER endings on their names.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'd call their roles, I'd be very careful not to just say Miller. I'd say Miller or Carter. And I'd usually say just Carter and Miller.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that that's a characteristic of your speech as you've gotten older? You've become more aware of R's, particularly in...
Things. I talked to a friend of mine shortly after I got back to Augusta, whom I had not seen in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that I sounded exactly alike, although my pronunciation sounded more careful. And I think part of that might have been, you know, the classroom experience. Part of it is the unmerciful kidding I've always gotten about my oral dialect. Part of it has been because people have just quite frankly not understood me. I found out, you know, I've told you how much I love B-E-E-R. And I have always, all my life, pronounced it Bill. I think that I...
you mentioned that Bill last time. And Bill.
Right, yes, exactly. And now I find myself almost unconsciously beginning to use beer rather than Bill.
So you find that changing right within your own dialect, in your own, and it's a somewhat conscious change, but at the same time it's unconscious.
It's sort of like people who, like say, live for a few years in a foreign country, who consciously say, I am not going to pick up, well, let's say, a British accent. Yet they cannot help being affected somewhat by whatever speech community they're in. That I have known people who have tried, who sounded affected because they didn't want to sound like they had been affected.
Right.
In other words, they'd exaggerate their regional speech when they came back, rather than speak the way they had been speaking over there had been.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Let's get back. We keep getting off on side issues. We're never going to get through this damn questionnaire.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier, we talked about driving horses in a wagon. If you have a wagon with two horses, what do you call that long wooden piece that comes up between the two horses?
Oh, the tongue.
The tongue. Okay. Do you know any other words for that? You ever hear?